Welcome to ClinPharm Pod. I'm Elena Webster, Deputy Managing Editor for the ASCPT family of journals. My guests today are Dr. Mohamed or Mo Elamegi, Senior Director, Clinical Pharmacology at Pfizer and Associate Editor for Clinical Pharmacology and Therapeutics, Dr. Veshti Pillay-Fuentes-Lorente, also Associate Editor for CPT and Clinical Pharmacologist at Stellenbosch University, and Dr. Amos de Jong, Postdoctoral Researcher at University Medical Center Utrecht and Editor-in-Training for CPT. I'm excited to have you all on the podcast.
Thanks, Elena. Happy to be here.
CPT's newest call for papers is seeking research related to advancing therapeutics for understudied patient groups. You were all present when the CPT editorial team met at ASCPT headquarters in 2025. Who proposed this topic, and what was the discussion across the team that led to a themed issue in 2026? Mo?
I think that is Veshni's proposal when we met at the editorial meeting at the ASCPT headquarters, very beautiful building. And several of us, including obviously Karen and Karthik, highlighted and their excitement about the topic. You know, I think it's very also timely. ASCPT annual meeting this year in 2026 has the topic of pharmacoequity. So there is a growing recognition that many patient groups remain underrepresented in clinical trials, but yet they are heavily seen in clinical practice. So there is a knowledge gap that we would like to highlight and take some steps towards, filling that knowledge gap in this issue.
Thank you. So, Veshti, since you proposed this idea, understudied patient groups is a bit of an umbrella term. It encompasses a lot of different topics. How does this focus connect to various aspects of clinical pharmacology and translational medicine?
Yeah, thanks, Elena, for that question. You're absolutely right. So, understudied patient groups is quite the umbrella term, but it actually encompasses a whole array of patient groups. And this could be, for example, and just to mention a few, the pediatric population, and that could be further subgrouped into preterm neonates, neonates, infants, adolescents, or toddlers, if you may. And then we also have other patient groups such as older adults and what we would commonly refer to as geriatric patients. But even patients with organ dysfunction or critically ill patients, for that matter. And that's just to mention a few subgroups that kind of fall under this umbrella term of understudied populations. But understudied population groups are highly relevant. And this is just to add to what Mo just said. It's highly relevant to both clinical pharmacology and translational medicine because they expose gaps between, how therapies are developed and kind of how we use them ultimately in real world populations. Because we actually see quite a large percentage of our patients in daily practice fall under these understudied patient groups. And, differences in physiology, in comorbidities, maybe genetic makeup, as well as social context, can significantly affect drug exposure. But not only drug exposure, but also drug response, maybe drug safety. Yet these factors are often underrepresented in traditional studies. And why I say that is because you often find that during drug discovery or drug development, these understudied patient populations don't really make that traditional population groups that kind of go into these trials. Coming back to your question, from a clinical pharmacology perspective, I think focusing on understudied population kind of allows us to improve our understanding of pharmacokinetics, pharmacodynamics, as well as the dose-response relationships across these diverse patient groups. And then on the other end, when you look at the translational medicine standpoint, it highlights limitations in existing maybe disease model, trial designs, it could be biomarkers, but it also drives innovation in study methodologies and the use of real-world evidence. Overall, research in understudied populations kind of strengthens the translational pipeline by improving maybe the generalizability as well as the safety and the clinical relevance of therapeutic interventions in these understudied populations.
Thanks, Vashni. Amos, walk me through what topics you would all really like to see in this issue. Are there specific types of submissions or research you're hoping to receive?
So what I'm really looking forward to in this themed issue is that we bring together a variety of topics, first in terms of topics related to the drug development pipeline and clinical pharmacology, the different stages there, but also diversity in the types of methods that are being employed in these studies. So Vashni already mentioned different modeling strategies, trials, real-world evidence, policy analyses, but also qualitative research if you really look to acceptance and trust of certain approaches. And also diversity in terms of the underserved populations that are being studied. So also some examples were already mentioned before, but pediatrics, pregnant and breastfeeding individuals, different age groups, et cetera, you name it. I'm also really looking forward to the different underserved or understudied populations there. Being a regulatory scientist myself and particularly interested in clinical trial innovation, I'm also really looking forward to research that looks at innovative approaches to clinical trials and the impact or the potential of that on representativeness. So then I'm thinking, for example, about embedding clinical trials in routine care, so pragmatic clinical trials, but also the use of digital health technologies, wearable devices, digital biomarkers, and maybe social media can help in outreach, things like that. So really the innovative approaches. In addition to that, I'm also looking forward to perspectives from diverse backgrounds. So that can be ethicists, regulators, policymakers, clinicians, etc. And really bringing that all together in this themed issue. Thank you.
Well, I hope we get some of everything you just mentioned. That sounds great. Mo, are there any particular areas of focus you'd like to see in submission?
I think Vashni and Amos, you covered it very well. I would reiterate that we would love to see, submissions that sort of go beyond the traditional boundaries and tackle complex PK/PD dosing challenges in these underserved, underrepresented populations. I think you named them all. I would maybe also add critically ill patients, patients with multimorbidity, also, in terms of methodology, you covered very well that standard typical methodologies, but also, in the era of AI, maybe let's see how we can use digital twins, adaptive trial design. I think you touched upon that, electronic health records and real world data. And also, I think there is this is very timely because there's an important global discussion across several health authorities of the underrepresentation of some racial groups and in clinical trials. And it's not because industry is selectively excluding these patients, it's because of access issues. So if we can, through the MIDD field, the quantitative field, help address some of these knowledge gaps, that would be incredibly valuable. The other thing I would love to see is guidances, right? Because a lot of these topics are, just have a lot of vacuum. We would love to have submissions that actually have actionable insights and direction to the field. And if we can get that consensus and that themed issue, I think this would be highly valuable.
Yeah, I agree. I think perspective pieces are often so important. But when you talk about guidances, some of our most popular papers across all three journals are tutorials, and they seem to be very, very helpful to our readers. So it'd be great to see some of those.
I think it can be very dedicated guidances, but it can also be authors just sharing their experiences in discussion sections, right, of articles. How did you reach these underserved populations? How did you go about that? So that's also indeed a form of guidance.
Yeah, you're talking about like adding a section to, say, your methodology or something like that, talking about, how you were able to communicate with these various communities and things like that.
So I think indeed all kinds of experiences here are highly appreciated. So important to share.
It's a very excellent point. Switching gears a little bit to more sort of housekeeping type things. What about types of papers? I know I just mentioned tutorials. You were obviously talking about original research articles, which is always very highly valued at CPT. But Vashni, what other article types are you hoping researchers will submit?
I think, you know, Mo and Amos actually touched on quite a few of these. But, you know, ultimately, as much as original research is greatly valued, you know, there's also value in reviews, systematic reviews. I think if authors are tackling a pertinent clinical issue, you know, that's very, very apt and that's required, you know, in whatever setting that is, I think a good systematic review is always valued around this topic. You know, a good review, as long as these reviews kind of at the end come with recommendations as well in terms of, you know, what do we do next? What is the next step? So as much as reviews are great and systematic reviews are great, we actually want to see, you know, what is this saying about best practices? What is it saying about where can we go to from here? So I think there's value in good reviews and systematic reviews. And there, again, you know, if there's a study and you think it best suits a brief report to kind of, you know, put it out there, what is the best practice at the moment and, you know, the key findings of your study, then that is also welcome. So brief reports. And what would also be amazing, so like Moa said, is guidelines. So guidance documents. I think guidance documents of best practice is something that's also highly valuable. And, you know, we're looking at, so of course, not a guidance document where you have quite a few out there already, but kind of, you know, if it's this topic that's extremely relevant to these understudied populations, there's less guidance out there, you know, why not submit a guidance on what is the best practice? So I think these are just in addition to what you've already mentioned, such as the tutorials. Often in practice, there could be a certain group that's handling or tackling a certain situation in the understudied population well. Why not put a tutorial out there, share the knowledge? So I think, you know, different article types, apart from original research papers, would definitely be good reviews, robust reviews, and guidelines and guidance documents.
I think you're absolutely right. And if you have any questions about formatting for various article types, I urge you to check out our author guidelines, which you can find on our submission page.
Can I add just one piece here? Because I think also sometimes there is an idea or a certain opinion, right, from key opinion leaders in the field that they would like to communicate, but they don't have the full type of review article or original research. And that's where perspectives could come in, right? And these could be very valuable as they are like brainstorming and open or eye-opening type of articles that doesn't take too much to probably put together because the opinion should be already there. But they could also be very helpful for the issue and for the field in general.
That's a very good point, Mo. Thank you for bringing that up. I will also note that we do have a mini review category that often falls kind of right in between a full review and a perspective. So if you feel like you have too much for a perspective, but not enough for a full review, that mini review is also a great thing to consider. So as we're talking about submitting and everything, Amos, what's the value in submitting for a themed issue? Why would you wait to publish your research if it's going to be ready before December of this year?
So I think for authors who are considering submitting to this themed issue, it is important to note that there's an opportunity to still have your article published before or have it available online in an early view. And then coming back to the strength of really putting this, bundling this research and these perspectives and these different types of articles, I think it's really important to do that because it's really shows the importance of the topic, and it may also amplify the impact that we can have on the field, right? So, bundling this variety of research that is all related to understudied populations. So I think that's important. And also, we will put in a little bit of extra time in marketing and promoting this research, of course, in this themed issue, for example, on our social media platforms.
Excellent points, Amos. And I'll just add that all submissions for this issue must be received no later than June 30th, 2026. We do welcome pre-submission inquiries, which you can send to anyone on journal staff. and we'll be happy to run them past Editor-in-Chief Karen Roland-Yeo and her team. Mo, Veshni, Amos, any last thoughts before I let you get back to your day?
This issue is really, you know, we think about it as an invitation for the community to sort of rethink, reconsider how we are generating data and evidence for these understudied populations, which, yes, they are called understudied and they present a small part of the label, but they still represent a considerable portion of the patients that are seen in the clinic. So if you are working on something that is really shifting how we treat these understudied subgroups, we truly want to see it. You know, feel free to reach out with pre-submission inquiries if you have any ideas and would like to see if it's, if it fits within the scope of the theme. That would be great. Veshni.
Thanks, Mo. So just to add on that, you know, let's see this work, this amazing work that's being done in understudied population, and let's put it out there and let's improve patient care in these subgroups.
So I, from my side, nothing really to add on these final important comments by Mo and Veshni, but really looking forward to the to all the submissions and making a valuable contribution to the field. Thank you.
It's been fantastic having you all join me today, and I'm so excited that you're now part of the CPT editorial team. Thank you for your time and your expertise, and I'm really looking forward to this issue. This call for papers is available on the ASCPT website, and we'll also include a link in the description of this episode. As I mentioned, all submissions are due by June 30th, 2026, so if you have any questions about manuscript types or submitting to CPT, please feel free to contact Managing Editor Alethea Girding at alethea@ascpt.org. That's alethea@ascpt.org. Thank you for listening to ClinPharm Pod. Be sure to check out past episodes while you're here, and remember to visit ascpt.org for updated podcast releases, our latest webinars, and the most recent issue of all three journals.